1 John 2, 3-6. And as you turn there, Barry L. Davis asked this great question. What do you think delights God above everything else in your life? What do you think delights God above everything else in your life?
Being obedient.
Being obedient. Now, how did you know that, Tim?
I just do.
A
little inside.
That's good. Any other thoughts besides being obedient? Which is the correct answer? So that or at least that's what that Barry L. Davis believes. So
when we love him back.
When we love him back. Amen.
Let guidance.
Sir?
Guidance.
Guidance.
Tell others about him.
Tell others about him.
Grateful.
We love each other.
We love each other. Amen. Because it's the same as loving God.
Even that neighbor.
That's right. Like our sign used to say. Any other thoughts? Okay, as Tim shared with us, Davis's premise is that maybe obedience delights God above everything else. I want to ask you another question, but I don't want an answer from you right away. I want y'all to think about this. What do you think it means to be obedient to God? Okay, so let the smoke start going and the gears start turning. Thinking about what do you think it means to be obedient to God? And whilst you're thinking about that, let me read to you from 1 John 2:3-6. We'll try that again. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to be in him must live as Jesus did. So all of these responses that we've had about, you know, loving and caring and all of that are great, but that comes from, the root of that comes from being obedient to God, from doing what he commands. I went to Bible Hub and searched the word commanded in the whole Bible. 2,191 responses to the word commanded. Now, that's all of the word commanded that's in there. You know, like when, you know, so-and-so commanded so-and-so to go tote a barrel of water or something, you know. It wasn't all the times when God commanded. Matthew Pryor said that the most often commanded command from God in the Bible, and I've heard a couple different versions as to which one's the most, but he said that 70 times, which is the most that God commanded to do a certain thing, he commanded that we do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Or, you know, versions of that. But there's a lot of commands in there. You know, the Ten Commandments, right? What's the first one? Love Lord your God. Right? It starts from command, right? It's a command to love God. You know, there are actually 613 Old Testament commands in the just in the books of the law, the five books in the Torah. 613 Old Testament commands. There's a lot of commands from God. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, what did he say?
Love the Lord with all of your heart.
And your neighbor as yourself. He said all of the commandments hang off of those two. So you see, it still starts with a command. Go do this. Go do this. 1 John said, like I just read, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. You know, loving him in response, right? It comes, the heart of it comes from obedience. Obedience to God, obedience to his command. So it's, I'm kind of seeing that, you know, Davis might have a case here. So keep thinking about that question that I asked. Remember, what do you think it means to be obedient to God? And remember that God has said, and I seem to recall seeing this in a bunch of places, especially in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law, you know, especially when they were going through the wilderness, when God was turning the reins over from Moses to Joshua. He kept saying things like, do everything that I have commanded you. Seems to ring a bell with me. I think that's a common statement from God. So, is the greatest life on earth, you know, because we have this life now, our physical life, and then we'll have spiritual life later, when we have our resurrected body. But is the greatest life on earth now filled with the peace of not being in conflict with God? Is that the greatest life? Not being in conflict with God. You know, when we obey God, when we ask him to forgive us of our sins and have that burden, that weight taken off of us, and we go God's way, it's like we're riding down the middle of the highway instead of riding down the guardrail. You know, I think I may be crazy, but I think if you ride down the middle of a highway, you'll go faster and the road will be smoother than if you try to rub your car up alongside of the guardrail all the way down the highway, don't you? I mean, if we're obeying God, we're in the middle of the highway. If we're not obeying God, what are we doing? We're in conflict with God. We're rubbing against the rail. And that doesn't get us very far. And it's hard on the car. It's hard on our life is what it really is. Right? Because we're always in this... we're always in this tension of being in this friction of always being, there's always being some kind of drama. That's the word, right? Turmoil. Yes, thank you. There's always some drama or turmoil going on in our life when we're not going God's way, right? And whose fault is that? Is that God's fault? He don't change. It's not his fault. He said, here is the middle of the road. Here's the middle of the highway. Here's the best way to live. Go that way and you'll have the best life. And what do? Ride down the guardrail. I mean, it's kind of insane if you think about it. Right? It's kind of crazy. Why do we do that? Why do we purposefully subject ourselves to that when we could ride the the good way, right?
The devil made me do it.
That's right. So now the middle of the road is the narrow way, right? God talked about the wide path leads to destruction. The narrow way is the way to God. You know, it takes effort on our part to ride down the middle way. You know, it's easy to run into the guardrail, right? All you got to do is let your hand off the wheel, and you'll be in the ditch any second. But to really have good life, you've got to focus, you've got to concentrate, you've got to go down the middle. You've got to live God's way. You've got to stay in your Bible. You've got to attend church. You've got to learn and grow and learn from your mistakes and go, oh, that wasn't good. You know, that took my mirror off. You know, let's you know, focus and concentrate. Keep our eyes on God down the middle of the road. But if we're lax even a second, right? It's like the sheep that's gone astray, right? Yeah, we all know about sheep. You know, they nibble their way into trouble, right? That's what we do as human beings, is we take our eyes off of where we're going. We're going to God, and we start putting our head down and paying attention to the grass on the other side of the fence. And the next thing you know, we've veered off course. You know, it don't take much of being off course to get you into trouble.
Amen.
Don't take much. What if we added to the "do everything I've commanded you" the words "and it will go well for you"? If you do everything I've commanded you, it will go well for you. Sir?
Not necessarily.
No. I agree. Not necessarily.
Well, we're not immune from trouble in this world. That is a fact. And you know, I think that's kind of a common misconception that really goes way back in pagan religions to the very first pagan religion. And that is if we do everything that the deity wants us to do, if we perform the right rituals and functions and all of that stuff, then the deity will bless our crops, right? And we'll be fruitful and multiply, and you know, all of that, you know, the good, all of the good things will happen to you on earth, right?
Well, it says, you know, it'll rain on the just and unjust.
It does.
You know, so if you can follow the right road and still get shot.
You can.
Yeah.
The difference is, if we obey God, it will go well for us because He will go with us through all of the troubles and trials and the rain that falls upon us. It doesn't fall to us to perform certain rituals and functions and all that stuff to have God smile upon us. God smiles upon us because He is, through repentance, has forgiven us of our sins and has given us an opportunity to have and to be and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes with us through all things. And we do know that at the end of that road is the brightest light ever. And that's the light of Jesus Christ in heaven, where there will be no need for sun or moon or stars, because Jesus Himself will light up everything. There is trouble on earth, and there will be trouble on earth. Until the Lord comes again, there will be trouble on earth, but he has overcome the world. And he goes with us through the trouble. And we have trouble on earth because of sin. Of sin. And that still not God's fault. So, is the greatest life on earth filled with the peace of not being in conflict with God? Richard Dean talked about this morning, and she came by our house the other day and shared with us a little bit. And I was really blessed by that, by both things. And it was when she talked about having the desires of your heart. You know, if we will fully trust in God and fully obey him, we will have the desires of our heart. The thing is, how's your heart? It's a lot easier to get the desires of your heart if your heart is lined up with his. If what the desire of your heart is noble and pure and good. Yeah. And I've been thinking about that a lot, Richard Dean, since that day that you came and Friday afternoon I was thinking about that. And, ever since I got out of high school, ever since I've been in the business world, started in the business world back then, I had always been so ambitious, right? You know, really, you know, what's the next step in the ladder? You know, how do I get there? What I have to do, you know? Who do I have to be friends with? You know, who do I have to impress? You know, all of these things to climb up the ladder. And you know what it occurred to me Friday was what is really the desire of my heart. And I said it this morning. I don't know if you caught it or not, but I realized Friday that what I really want, the desire of my heart, is to see God. You know? I want to see God. I want to see God in heaven. That's what I really want. You know what? I don't feel like there's a lot of ambition in that. It's just peace. You know, lack of conflict. Lack of turmoil, lack of drama in that, right? That's just the good of being in a relationship with God and the good of trying your very best to stay in the middle of the road and to stay off of the guardrail. Stay on the path. Right. He never said anything about ladder, did he? He said, go the narrow way. He didn't say climb the ladder. So what do you think? I want answers now to my question. What do you think it means to be obedient to God?
Follow his word.
Follow his?
His word.
Follow his word.
Right.
Yes. Obey his commandments. Mm-hmm. What do you think it means to be obedient to God? Love one another. Amen.
It's got to be a heart issue. Because I could obey my Father. I could do what he said. But I could do it with
Yes, I'm going to do it because you said it.
Yeah.
But what Father God wants is for us to do it because we love Him. And because we, that's why we want to obey, because we love Him.
We want to obey because we love Him. I love that. I love that. I want what He wants. I want what He wants. And I think that's the key to seeing God, is to want what He wants. You know, to love Him and to love our neighbor, love my neighbor, and to bring people to Christ. I think that's what He wants. I think we're on to something. I think we're also on to something with trust. Somebody said trust. I thought somebody said trust. But somebody said something like that. You know, obeying with all our heart, maybe, somebody said. So, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. I think that's another way of saying obey Him and do things His way and stay in the middle of the road and stay off of the guardrail.
I think true love is trust.
Yes.
I mean, you know, who can you trust more than the people that you know that love you?
Amen. You know, last Sunday afternoon, at choir practice, we sang "On Eagle's Wings," and I took a picture of this with my phone. On page 4 of that song, up at the top, the first line says, for the men, says, "Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust." And that just really struck me. And I was like, when I read that line, I was like, I'm going to have to take a picture of that, because I think there's a sermon in there. And maybe this is it. I don't know. There might be more to come later. But you know, it's obedience means that you trust in whom you're taking orders from, right? You trust that they have your best interest at heart. And see, when God gives us a command, it's for our good to do what He says. It's for the good of all of His creation to do what He says. Okay, so let me read to you now from Ephesians. If you would turn to Ephesians 5. And see how this might affect what you think. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater and has no inheritance in the kingdom of God and kingdom of Christ, rather, in God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the light of the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And let me pause there just a second, and let me just say, I just happened to think when I read that, my first job, I worked a lot of hours and a lot of late night hours. And I was driving home, and I was really sleepy driving. And the interstate went this way, and the off-ramp went this way. And I woke up on the off-ramp, much to my surprise and chagrin. And I got on the brakes as fast as I could because there was a big right-hand turn. And I'm thinking, this is a metaphor for that scripture. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. If I hadn't woke up, I'd have been dead. You know, if we don't wake up and see God's word and live by God's word, we're going to hit the guardrail pretty hard. Picking up at verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You seen any more evil days than today? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I love about this scripture is everything that it said to not do, it pointed out the good thing to do. Did you notice that? It pointed out the good thing to do. It said, here's the rail. Here's the rail. Here's the good way. Let's go that way. If you'll live that way, if you'll be obedient to me, this is how it'll work. And you know, the best part about this is we were given an example to follow. Right? God just didn't say, there beeth the road, followeth it, and thy will be fine. No, he proved it. He proved it. He proved it could be done. And he did it. When Jesus came to earth, right down the middle, never scraped the guardrail even once. That's pretty amazing if you ask me. I lived a long time on the guardrail. And it's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot greater to live the way that Jesus went. And then, not only that, but then he proved the fact that it delights God above everything else to be obedient. And the reason that I know that is because he was obedient even to death, death on a cross. God told him to go die on the cross. And he did. And his great sacrifice of love proves it all. So what does our obedience to God have to do with Christ's sacrifice? What does our obedience to God have to do with Christ's sacrifice? There's sacrifice in the living it, right? I mean, you know, You could be at home watching NCIS, right?
Deny thyself.
Deny thyself.
Take up your cross.
Take up your cross. Follow him. It's still the best life. But there's sacrifice. There's the time spent in here. That's time away from. You know, it's the time that we spend with God, which is not an onerous thing. I want to point that out, first of all. I mean, that's a delight. But it's time spent away from doing the selfish thing in order to do the thing that gives us life and gives us abundant life. And I talk about this a lot. It seems like I probably mention abundant life nearly every sermon that I preach, and you may be tired of that, but I'm not tired of it. But you see, it's important when you share God's word that you connect God's word to the person and the life that they're living now. And yes, we do talk a lot about eternity, and that's extremely important. But we also have to know how to live this life now, because this is the life we got right now. And we have to be able to find joy and peace in it. And whenever we're looking to God, we're finding peace. But if we're looking in the mirror, we're not going to find peace. And again, this is above our circumstances. This is above our situation in life. Because in any and everything that goes on in life, God goes with us. When we're filled by the Spirit, remember what Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who sent me, or who goes with me. But if you back up a verse, you realize that Paul says, and I know this because I've had both bad and good. And we will. We'll have bad and good in this life. But the abundance is from God. And the abundance comes from when we obey him and go his way. Neither turning to the right nor the left, but go right down the middle of the highway. So what's the hardest part about this for you? The hardest part about obeying God. Amen.
And if we're missing some of the parts of that armor, that's when it becomes hard.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because those little thoughts and insinuations and temptations and all that come along and and we grab a hold of the steering wheel. You know, we'd let God drive for a while, but we grab back a hold of it, you know, because, you know, my armor was down and that little temptation came in and, well, I just take a hold of it for a second and the next thing you know.
He's not nice.
He's not. You know, the enemy has come to kill and destroy you. The devil, the enemy, wants nothing more than to ruin your life and to ruin your witness for Christ.
And to steal your joy.
And to steal your joy.
And the best thing about it, we got to remember, when Jesus came and he rose from the dead, he defeated Satan.
He's defeated.
He is defeated and dead. It's only what we allow him
We allow a defeated enemy to steal our joy and to help us wreck. Again, we're crazy. Huh?
Just put him in his place.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we invoke his name and we tell him to leave.
And most of the time he comes with what we think we desire.
Right. So we need to desire what God desires. Okay, we talked about the hardest part. What's the best part to you of obedient of being obedient to God? The best part.
Peace.
Peace. No drama. No turmoil. You know, I just have to tell you, and I'm sorry, I'm going to pick on Jane just a little bit. She and I can't watch TV together. No. Because she likes to watch dramas, right? You know, TV dramas and courtroom dramas and medical dramas and drama, 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 turmoil, turmoil, turmoil. I've had enough. I have enough drama in my life. I have enough turmoil in my life. I don't want that. I want peace. So I like to listen to music or watch a baseball game or stuff like that. So we can't watch TV together. So, but I love you, dear. I want peace. I want no turmoil. I want joy. What about you?
She can watch drama though and think, phew, and I just thought my life was bad.
Oh, let me point out, I will never ever commit suicide. So if it looks like I have, you do really good police work, okay? Do really good police work. What's the best part of obeying God to you?
Like you said, the peace.
The peace.
You can't beat that.
You can't beat it.
Especially when the world is in trouble.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I think the greatest thing in trying to, in our lives, if we do the things God wants us to do, is we receive respect. And what greater can you have than other people respecting you?
Amen. Amen. What's the best part of obeying God to you?
Serving His purpose, which is sort of what Dwight's saying.
Yes. Serving His purpose. It's good to have purpose, isn't it? It's good to have something that God has given you to do that really makes you feel fulfilled. And serving is what that makes me feel fulfilled. So, the initial question was, what do you think delights God above everything else in your life? Does obeying God bring you delight? I pray that it will. I pray that you will find that the best life is to obey God. I pray that you will find that staying off the guardrail and going His way will delight you and that will bring you the desires of your heart. I pray that everybody would find this, because I'm just telling you from personal experience that it is the best life. And anytime you just look away for 1 second, it just brings that all back again. But you look the right way and you're going good. I don't know if you know this about riding a motorcycle, But I've discovered this. The motorcycle will go the direction you look. Did you know that? It really will. The motorcycle will go the direction you look. So if you're riding down the highway to bebop along, and you look over there at the barn, guess which way you're going? The motorcycle will start going that way. When you go to make a turn, like you come to an intersection and you turn right, you have to look right to go right. Did y'all know that? The way that you look is the way you're going to go in life. If you look to Christ, you're going to go to Christ. If you look at the shiny thing on the left or the right, guess where you're going? Right in the guardrail. Look to Christ, and you won't go wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray.